You are listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector here at the Private Officer Beat Radio. Every week, you'll hear breaking news, topics of training, information for the industry of security, public safety, and law enforcement. So strap in, hang on, we're about to speed off in this episode of the Private Officer Beat Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio, Monday morning, the 18th of October, 2021. And I'm the host, Rick McCann. Thanks for joining us on this lovely day, at least where I am. Now, believe it or not, there are several areas of the country, not including Alaska, where the snow has been flying since the first of the month. We often talk about the crazy weather, but here we have several states in the last 48 hours getting snow, while possible tropical storms that may turn into hurricanes are in the Atlantic at this very moment. Oh my gosh, the spectrum of weather really is something that you need to keep an eye on. As we often tell you, it's important in our field, in our industry, to really understand the weather in your area, how it moves in, where it moves in from. Many of the storms in central U.S. get their weather from the far west or far north. And in Carolinas, Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, the southeast area, we get a lot of our weather from the Gulf Coast, especially rain, severe thunder, tornadoes. Tornadoes also often move in down Interstate 20 from the west through Oklahoma, through Mississippi, Tennessee, and it's very important to know where your weather storms develop and what causes them to develop. Many times our storms, especially in the spring and fall, what happens there is that we get a warm front moving up from the Gulf and a much cooler front moving down from Canada, and we obviously they collide and we have severe weather, including tornadoes. But it is important as a first responder to be ready for all things. I often talk about having a go bag just for the weather, having those boots, those galoshes, rain gear, you know, winter gear if you live in those areas, gloves, and certainly a little bit of a supply of food and water just in case you do get stranded someplace. Just watched a Weather Channel special about this very thing. And we try to stay on top of the weather, and we even send out alerts to members in certain areas that are either under severe weather watch or warning or might be within the 24-hour window. All right, enough about weather. Hey, we're almost at 500 radio shows. I don't care if you're doing a TV series, a docuseries, you know, that you have a cable news show. When you hit 100 episodes, that is a huge milestone. 200 episodes, hey, that is a real milestone. One of my favorite shows, Chicago Fire, hitting their 200th episode next week. But when you hit that 500 mark, that is a huge milestone that few TV shows, radio shows, cable news network shows, or any other type of platform hit. A friend of mine, very good friend of mine, in Nashville, Tennessee, Jerry House and the House Foundation. They were around for years, Monday through Friday, producing about 220 episodes a year. And I know that he was around at least 12, 15 years. I'd have to check to be sure. But imagine how many radio shows was produced for Jerry House and the House Foundation. Well over 2,000. Well, guess what? We're going to strive for 1,000. I'm not sure I'm going to get to the 2,000 mark. Maybe if I live to be 100, which is sooner than later, unfortunately. But we're certainly going to strive once we hit that 500 in sometime next month or early December. We're definitely going to strive for another 500 and maybe reach that 1,000 mark. But, to be fair, we also have several other radio shows that we have begun producing. Coastal Alabama on another platform doing quite well, and we're going to be launching the Frontline Protector Network coming up before the first of 2020, and along with that, not only will we have docuseries, we'll have a radio show, a media magazine. We are really, I think we are putting all in on this project and working very hard. So we had a little bit of a downfall, a little bit of a disturbing day this past week when one of our computers, which had most of our video project and Frontline Protector project stored in it, decided to stop working and to spin in circles. That currently is being repaired and hopefully will be all up and running and fine and dandy before the end of the week. We've turned it over to the Geek Squad, of course, and hopefully they come through for us. But we are excited about this project. We will have a number of original series. We will have an original platform for first responders, EMS, fire, law enforcement, and security. And that brings me to another area. I desperately need any body camera footage that we can review and see if it fits within our criteria for our programs. I know that there's been some concern by a number of folks about, well, we can't turn it over unless our clients allow. That's not true. You can film anything outside. You can film anything in the purview of public domain. And definitely, we don't want you to give us anything that would be secret or that was filmed inside a building. But if you're on patrol going from apartment to apartment, people post that on YouTube all of the time. There are a number of specialized patrol services out there and private police departments. I know some of them listen occasionally or sometimes to our radio show because they've commented. Please contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. And let's get together and see what you got, see how we can use it. And when I come back from this break, I'm going to tell you about some other ways that you can get involved in. You're listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio.
Slow down.
Slow down and move over.
And move over.
When you see lights,
masks,
or reflectors,
please give us some room. Slow down and move over.
When you need us,
we've got your back.
You have ours.
You got our back?
You got ours?
You got our back?
Please, slow down.
And move over.
I don't want to go blind from diabetes.
I don't want to lose a foot or a leg.
I don't want to have kidney failure, so I'm taking control.
I'm controlling my diabetes.
It's making a huge difference.
I'm eating healthy and staying physically active.
I'm taking my medicine.
If I can do it, anyone can.
Control your diabetes for life. Call 1-800-438-5383.
All right, welcome back to this edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio. Remember, Body Armor, USA. That's all that you have to remember, Body Armor and the good old U.S. of A. Body Armor USA, we have got what it takes to protect you. Check them out online. Top level body armor, stab-resistant vests, protective clothing and gloves, whether you're corrections, security, law enforcement, or something in between. Contact our friends over at Body Armor USA today. We've got what it takes to protect you. And in this day and age, brother, we need to be protected. Before the break, I said that we're going to be discussing another way for you to get involved. Of course, if you go to privateofficer.org, you can sign up for our breaking news, our officer down reports, and training opportunities. Privateofficer.org, a box will drop down, and you can fill out your information. We don't spam you. We don't sell it. Nothing will happen to it. And you will be well informed. But there are many ways, if you go to our website, that you can be involved in. Right now, we're taking committee members for the Benevolent Committee. Really, all that is that you get to help us out. If there's an officer down, officer injured in your territory, it doesn't take much time or much effort. This is really a very important and unique position. Contact us immediately if you might be interested. We're also looking for chaplains. If you're a chaplain, you got to be certified, but we're looking for chaplains to help us with counseling and reaching out to folks who might need a little assistance. Also, we have board member, advisory board member, two member positions. Contact us for any of those or for more information at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Of course, you can also be involved in our virtual museum. This is a beautiful opportunity to showcase private security, and yet very few people have reached out. What's wrong with you people? What is wrong with this picture? We're providing a platform where we can highlight and spotlight private security. Get involved. It doesn't take a lot of time. For more information, you know who to contact. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Wow, this has been, again, one of those weeks in the news that has just been tragic and good, in a good way, of course. We've had some situations where security officers have been injured or shot, and we've had some situations where security personnel have stepped up and really, really done a great thing. And we're going to be highlighting them in a special docuseries on the Frontline Protectors Network coming up at the first of the year. If you know someone, anybody who has stepped up, maybe performed CPR for someone. Maybe they made a good arrest. Maybe they saved a life. Maybe they just helped someone. Send their information to helpdesk@privateofficer.com so that we can spotlight them, help them, and we'll also present them with an award. Helpdesk at PrivateOfficer.com. We 18 years we've been doing this. 18 years. 18 years that we have full-time, sometimes, many times actually, at our expense, existed to provide people in the security, public safety, retail security, and private law enforcement an avenue, a platform for training, for services, for communication, for advice. Remember, if you want to be part of the conversation and you want to reach out to others, go to our platforms, facebook.com/PrivateOfficerInternational, and on Twitter, twitter.com/PrivateOfficer. You can also go to LinkedIn. We have a secured platform that we started a number of months ago because people asked for it, and it's not used as frequently as it should be. Go to LinkedIn. If you're not a LinkedIn member, join. It's free. It's a secured community among POI members, and we have another one for supervisors and managers of the security public safety industry. If we don't have reasonable response on a regular basis for these platforms, they'll be deleted, and that would be a shame. More information, of course, anytime you have a question about anything that Private Officer does, contact helpdesk at privateofficer.com. Helpdesk at privateofficer.com. There is no doubt other security associations out there. No doubt there are some state security associations. No doubt we all know As is out there. But what have they done? What have they done for you recently? What have they ever done for you? $200 a year, you're going to get lunch once a month, and you got to pay for that lunch. Have they ever come to your rescue when you've been injured? Have you ever been presented an award from any of these other security organizations? If you're not already a member of Private Officer International, please go to our website at privateofficer.org. Support us today by becoming a member. You're going to receive more than 45 member benefits. Who else does that? Who else provides the assistance 24 hours a day? Help desk, chaplains, counseling, mentoring, an awards program, a yearly Officer Down Memorial, all of these other things that we do and we have been doing consistently since day one. Please go to our website at privateofficer.org and sign up today. Remember, if you're out in California, I could sing that song, but I won't. remember that in a couple of weeks, just outside of San Diego, is the third Native Nations Security Symposium. This is a three-day event, well worth checking them out today. We are a sponsor of this event, as we will be for several others coming up later next year, early next year and mid next year. For more information, go to our website at privateofficer.org. It's right there on the front page. We do have a lot of news. We have a lot of other information that we want to get to, but we have to take a quick break. Remember, if you have video, pictures of security involved in good things, if you want to report a security officer who was involved in assisting the police, providing CPR, someone who deserves an award or recognition, helpdesk at privateofficer.com. Helpdesk at privateofficer.com. That's all there is to it. That's all that you have to do. And remember, if you're in the Charlotte metropolitan area, and that includes Rock Hill, South Carolina, just across the line on the interstate there, Interstate 77. Check out Premier Training Academy. Call them today. They provide North Carolina armed and unarmed security, South Carolina armed and unarmed security, first aid and CPR, firearms training, citizen protection, and much more. Premier Training Academy. Tell our friend John that Private Officer sent you over. We'll be right back. Hey, everyone. You're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector right here on the Private Officer Radio Network. Now, don't go away because we are coming right back when we've got a whole lot more right here on the Private Officer Beat Radio.
Life is precious. Ask any of these people. They've been given a second chance at life through organ and tissue donation. But there are more than 84,000 Americans waiting for life-saving transplants. 17 people die every day waiting. I didn't know this until I lost my best friend, Lyric. She gave the gift of life to 5 people. That's why I've become an organ donor, too. One decision saves so many lives. Donate life.
It's on us to stop sexual assault.
To get in the way before it happens.
To get a friend home safe.
And to not blame the victim.
It's on us.
To look out for each other.
To not look the other way.
It's on us. To stand up.
To step in.
To take responsibility.
It's on us, all of us,
to stop sexual assault.
Learn how and take the pledge at itsonus.org.
At Private Officer International, we provide probably the only true private security and public safety news platform across the U.S., Canada, and around the world. Our news staff, including myself, we monitor that news platform. We have about 3,000 news feeds, emails that come into our office daily, press releases that come into our office daily, so that we can stay on top of the news and the officers injured and the officers down, and so that we can not only notify our members, but we notify the public. We have them on all the public platforms. People sign up to get our newsletters free. And we provide the only statistical data collection point for security in the country. There's no other. I know. I've had numerous meetings with state and federal authorities for years. And they receive most of their data from us. We're the only national and international organization that provides officer assistance when officers are injured or assistance to the family when officers are killed. Case in point, a few weeks ago, sadly, we had to tell you that a special police officer in Washington, D.C. was killed in the line of duty. A mother of 4 shot to death while patrolling around an apartment complex. I haven't heard if there's been an arrest, but we were in contact with her employer within 24 hours. And now we are presenting her family with a Purple Heart on behalf of their daughter. And they are very excited about this, that someone would step up and do this. She will also be part of a show that's coming out about security deaths in the line of duty. And that's what it's called, in the line of duty. But the family was very excited. We present awards to people who are not even members. All right, so we provide 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 day a year coverage of all the news. And many people use that news and our products for training. They distribute it numerous ways, not only on social media, but through other channels. They even print it as their own. We don't stop them from doing that. We provide a award program, an officer assistance program, benevolent program, and I'm getting a little choked up. Who else does this, you know? We provide a lot of things to non-members and even members. You pay $99 for a lifetime membership or $169 on regular price for membership, and we support you year after year at no other cost. That's why today I'm asking that you consider, as a listener, as a member, as a follower, as a supporter, you consider making a donation to Private Officer International's Benevolent Fund, which we use to assist officers, and we use it several times. We've used it to support Crime Stoppers when an officer has been murdered, security officer. Go to our website at privateofficer.org and make a donation today. It doesn't have to be a million. I'd love for it to be, but, you know, if you have that kind of money, sure, why not? You can also be a monthly sponsor. Contact helpdesk at privateofficer.com, and we'll tell you more about that. We need you to help us to be able to do all the things that we do, because the funding isn't there from membership. That's why we need your help. If you like the radio shows, if you like the newsletters, if you like the benefits that we provide, whether you're a member or not, please donate today and consider becoming a monthly member. Contact helpdesk at privateofficer.com to set that up. Today's program, I know in the last month or so, maybe 2 months, we've talked a lot about what's happening in the streets, the defund the police and the lack of police response and how security is really having to step out. And today's program, we're going to spend a few moments talking about officer safety. Talking about how to stay alive. There are so many security officers that are injured every single day. You may not believe it, because in your little world, in your little piece of the U.S. or Canada or wherever you might live, you don't hear about it because it doesn't make the news. But it does happen. It does happen. Thousands of security officers are injured every year. That's a fact, and we have the proof. Many of the main security companies, the larger ones, won't acknowledge it. They won't acknowledge it. And do you know why they won't acknowledge it? Because that would be bad for them in so many ways. And we're going to talk about safety. Safety first when we come back after this break.
It's a very simple thing. It only takes 2 seconds. We all know we should do it. We all say we do it. But do we? About 35,000 people were killed in motor vehicle accidents last year. More than half were not wearing a seatbelt. A brother, a father, a mother, a best friend. Is it worth it? I lost a sister. Don't let it happen to you and your family. Tell the people you love to buckle up.
Mm-hmm.
All right, to the Private Officer Beat Radio. We've got a lot of breaking news. We always do. Unfortunately, some of it is not so good, and we do have to start off with a painful story coming out of Houston, Texas. This weekend, three deputy Houston constables were working security at a nightclub when they were informed of a possible robbery in the parking lot. The deputies began to make their way into the parking lot. They did find a suspect in a possible robbery, but as deputies began making that arrest, a man with an AK-47 hiding in the bushes came out shooting, injured two deputy constables, and killed Constable Kareem Atkins, 30, on the job for less than 3 years. He died almost instantly. Police, after investigating, say this was an ambush, that the robbery may have been a hoax. This is still under investigation. Atlanta, Georgia, very strange story this weekend. A Waffle House waitress pulled a gun on a customer after receiving a complaint about the way she cooked the customer's food. Police say the customer said that the eggs that was ordered was done improperly. But when he addressed that situation, the waitress pulled a gun and threatened to blow the customer's head off. Sadly, this year, 231 police officers and 119 confirmed security officers have died so far from the COVID-19 virus. This pandemic continues to take the lives of men, women, and children. And unfortunately, those on the front line, from grocery store clerks to gas station attendants, restaurant and fast food employees, and obviously our first responders, are suffering great from this. We know 119 security officers have died. We are pretty sure that it's quite a few more than that, but the information continues to be hard to come by and even harder to verify. We often tell you about the thousands of news feeds that come into our office every day, and while we were combing through the news feeds on Friday of this past week, we came across this very unusual but delightful news article for us, because it's going to go into our virtual museum. A night watchman employed by the city of Wickenburg, Arizona. A night watchman, Clarence N. Dotson, was out on patrol in the evening hours of February 7, 1945. 43 years old, on his job for 9 months, he came across a man who was hunched down and breaking into a drugstore. At first, he thought it was maybe a drunk. He ordered the man to come out and show himself. But in response, three shots rang out. Watchman Dotson, a civilian employee, was able to return fire and tell a witness what happened and that the suspect was staying in a local hotel. And then he passed away. A 34-year-old suspect was found later and arrested. He was convicted and sentenced to life in the Arizona penitentiary. But that suspect, he escaped in November of 1953, recaptured in June of 1954 in New Mexico, and escaped again May 7, 1968. He simply just walked away from his trustee job outside of the prison. There's no word whether or not he was ever apprehended again.
Night Watchman Clarence N. Dotson has been put into our Officer Dow memorial pages and will be memorialized on an upcoming Frontline Protector TV program early of next year. A situation that's quite concerning for law enforcement and myself in Orlando, Florida, a missing young lady, 19 years old. Her family called police. Police came to investigate. They didn't see any signs of breaking into her apartment. They didn't see any signs of foul play, although the family insists it was a former boyfriend. The family called on the apartment security guard to do a little forensic work and a little PI work, and he, the security guard, took some prints from a back window of the apartment. They called police again, and the security guard offered the prints to law enforcement. The problem here is that those prints, even if they were good enough to identify a person, they would not be valid or admissible in court because the security officer is not a certified crime scene technician, not a CSI person, not even law enforcement, and therefore, from a civilian, this would not be permissible as court evidence. And I'm concerned because he tampered with evidence. If he found fingerprints, he should have called law enforcement and had them come back out and identify those prints. He tampered with evidence. He interfered with a criminal investigation. I know he was trying to do the right thing. I know he was trying to be a good citizen and to help this family of the missing young lady who was later found dead. Unfortunately, he went about it the wrong way. Coming out of Philadelphia, this is a city of brotherly love, but not for the police. Philadelphia this past week passed a bill prohibiting police from pulling over drivers for minor offenses. Those offenses would include things like an expired registration tag, broken taillight, vehicle maintenance violations, or other low-level offenses. According to the statement from the city, if police want to issue an infraction for those, they simply can run the tag and mail it to them. This was passed as a racial discrimination, anti-racial discrimination law. And unfortunately, it really does just the opposite, because they might as well have just told the police, go home and don't do your job. Unfortunately, other cities have also in recent months, since 2020, Virginia is a good example, stopped allowing police to, again, conduct traffic stops for minor infractions, such as these no headlight on or no tag on your vehicle. And I'm not really sure why they think that is only a crime committed by minorities, because it's committed by whites as well, or Hispanics or Chinese or other Asians or whatever. The bill goes into effect. Officers, like I said, can still write a citation and mail it. Of course, they are still permitted to conduct traffic stops for more serious offenses such as speeding, red light and stop sign violations, reckless driving, suspected DUI, and so on and so forth. One patrol sergeant said that he doesn't mind, and he has plenty of violations in his district, and he can just go ahead and look for those more serious violations. Also this past week, the U.S. Supreme Court, for the second time in just about a year, refused to weigh in on the police qualified immunity. Police qualified immunity allows police officers protection from civil lawsuits as long as they abided by the law and their department's training and requirements. They cannot be sued. The Supreme Court, again, just a number of months ago, did not pick up that case. A story coming out of Northern Virginia near the Tennessee line. In fact, it's the largest city in Alabama. I said Virginia, but it is Alabama, not Virginia. I'm reading two different things here, two different news stories, another news story just popping up. Coming out of Huntsville, Alabama, near the Tennessee line, a woman missing for 12 days was found in a police prisoner van in the rear parking lot of the main police station. The African-American woman went missing. No one had any idea where she was. A report was filed. The family had no clue. But somewhere along the way, police looking at surveillance footage, for whatever reason, saw the woman entering a police prisoner transport van 12 days previously and went out to investigate, and lo and behold, her body was discovered there. Now, of course, people are upset, saying this was something that police did. They must have killed her. They must be responsible. So the police immediately released the security surveillance video, which clearly shows she was completely alone, no one else around. Police have done their investigation. An autopsy has been conducted, and the manner of death at this time has not been released. However, some say that it could be drugs. They're waiting for a toxicology analysis of that. But this certainly did not involve police or any other third party. This simply is just one of those situations where the young lady may have been distraught, may have been on drugs or alcohol, just went in possibly to sleep, like many times they will. And unfortunately, no one knew about this until it was too late. Coming out of Springfield, Missouri, a heart-touching, soul-touching, just one of those stories you love to see. A Missouri police officer needing a kidney received a kidney from a recently slain Independence, Missouri police officer. The police officer had been in need of a kidney donor, and a fellow Independence officer, an organ donor, was recently killed in the line of duty. His wife donated the kidney, and that's just amazing in itself that this grieving spouse of the police officer would think of this other police officer who needed desperately a kidney, and she stepped up and provided that kidney for the officer, and it's just very touching. TSA released this past week 4,500 guns found this year already throughout our country at the airport. People still trying to get onto planes with guns in their briefcases, their purses, their luggage that they're taking on board. It sets a 20-year record in just the first 9 months of 2021. It is unreal that people have not learned by now. You can face criminal prosecution and fines of $17,000 for attempting to bring a gun on an aircraft. For the second time in a week, a lengthy prison sentence was handed down to a person convicted of robbing an armored truck. We just saw one in New Orleans who got life, several life sentences, and this one is out of Waterloo, Iowa. The former professional boxer fell into hard times and on drugs and was robbing homes and attempted to rob an armored truck. One of the armored truck security officers shot and killed a second suspect, and in Iowa and many other states, including California, they allow anyone involved in that crime to be charged with murder, because had they not tried to rob the armored truck, there'd have been no shooting. coming out of Evans County, Georgia, OG Technical College, OGG Technical College, they have non-sworn public safety officers. Well, let me rephrase that. They used to have non-sworn public safety officers, but the sheriff of that county, Mac Edwards, and the director of public safety for that technical college got together, and this past week, guess what? The sheriff's department swore in the public safety officers as deputy sheriffs. Countywide authority. It doesn't say in the press release if they had any additional training, if they're required to go to the academy. I don't believe that they are. According to this press release, it sounds like it's a done deal. Private police, you're going to see it more and more. We talk about that pretty often. Many places in the U.S. do allow private police. And like I said, with the lack of police, the defund the police, police not having academies, just a whole slew of reasons why many areas are turning to private security and public safety, really, to provide that extra level of law enforcement. Chicago, Illinois, a school security officer at the Wendell Phillips Academy High School Tuesday was shot multiple times. The 45-year-old unarmed security officer and a 14-year-old female freshman was opening the campus double doors at the end of the school day at 3 p.m. when a suspect who was standing just outside of the campus immediately began shooting toward the door of the school. The officer was hit, like I said, multiple times in the back, the arm, and several other locations. He is in severe critical condition. The female is in stable condition. According to the Chicago police, just recently, before the beginning of this new school year, all of their SROs was stripped of their assignments, and the schools went to unarmed security. A very tragic story coming out of Lawrenceville, Georgia. That's in Gwinnett County, just north of Atlanta, a very sprawling, thriving community. A police recruit, 45 minutes into his first day of the physical training, died. He suffered an extreme medical emergency. EMTs were already in the class. They had a nurse at the academy. They provided assistance to him, but he did not make it. Very, very, very tragic. I don't think I recall a recruit passing away so quickly. We do have recruits across the country who do die during the academy process, but this was just tragic. Coming out of Lancaster, California, three people are shot, a security officer among them. He was shot multiple times. He also is in critical condition after the shooting in Lancaster, California, at a restaurant nightclub. A brawl broke out. The security officer intervened, and it's under investigation at this time, but it was pretty serious. The 44-year-old security officer, as of Friday, remained in serious condition. Every week, we have just tons and tons and tons of breaking news. To check out all of our news, go to our daily news blog at privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com, or you can also sign up for breaking news in your mailbox. Go to our website at privateofficer.org. And whenever we have some serious breaking news, officer down reports, or occasional training opportunities, you're going to be one of the first to know, because you'll get that email in your box. We have a lot more to talk about, and I do want to talk about officer safety. It seems to be the topic these days. But I got to tell you, with so many injuries and deaths of our frontline personnel, it should be the topic, not only every week, but every minute, every hour, every day. We'll be right back.
For some children, America isn't the land of promise. It's a place where every day is a struggle. Because today in America, 1 in 6 children lives below the poverty line. For these children, living in poverty means going without medicine, going without food, going without a warm home, or even a roof over your head. And that's life for nearly 13 million children of all races, all across America. Where will you draw the line and get involved? You can help these children and their families find a way out of poverty for good. And you can make a difference in more ways than you think. Will you help? Go to PovertyUSA.org today. Because 1 in 6 children in poverty is 1 too many. A message from the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
What am I doing lying in this casket? Oh, yeah. That's right. I'm dead. I got shot. I'm not supposed to be dead. I'm only 17. And now I can't see my 18th birthday because I'm a fatal victim of gun violence. My friends, my family, my own mother was devastated. Can't see her son anymore because of gun violence. And everyone's here at the funeral. But before they lay me to rest, there's just one last thing I have to do. How many more of us have to die from gun violence? Let's put a stop to this, because if we don't, the next time it could be your child lying in this casket.
Brought to you by Men Up Inc. USA, a proud member of the Gun Violence Awareness Movement.
All right, welcome back to this edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio. Monday morning, trying to stay happy, trying to stay upbeat, but we are going to be talking about some serious, serious issues. Officer safety, we unfortunately have to continue to hammer this into our folks. But before I give you my tips for mitigating or for reducing injuries or even death, let me tell you about one of our businesses that I think that you may be interested in. Check out publicsafetyservices.org. publicsafetyservices.org. This is a company that provides cities and towns with community service officers, private traffic investigators, and many other public safety related services. Right now, we're expanding to all parts of the country and Canada. If you are looking for a new type of employment or business where you can help people while being in business, check out that website today and contact our office. There are many ways to mitigate, lessen, or reduce the injuries to yourself or your partners or even death. Unfortunately, there is no magic button, no wand that we can wave. It is just really a fact of life. If you're going to be wearing a uniform, if you're going to be in public safety, security, or law enforcement, you're going to be in danger. probably now more than ever before. In the 70s and 80s, we saw a period of time when it was very deadly. A lot of violent groups out there that did not like the police. However, now probably is even worse than back in those days. One of the biggest things you can do to prevent or mitigate, lessen, reduce injuries to yourself is have the right mindset before you ever go to work. If you go to work with many problems on your mind, as we all sometimes do, thinking about the bills that have to get paid, thinking about what you're going to do this weekend, thinking about your last conversation with a loved one, a spouse, this is going to clog up and cloud your mind. For all first responders, we need to have a clear mind and a right mindset. Always be willing to admit that this is a dangerous job with many unknowns, and you can be hurt at any time, and you have to play it safe, regardless of how great you think you are at understanding people and at performing your job. Training is essential, and just because you were trained 16 years ago as a security officer or you spent 30 years in the military or law enforcement, that doesn't mean anything. We have what's called perishable skills. We have to maintain our skills and our skill level regularly, and that includes self-defense, weapon tactics, de-escalation, all of our less lethal weapons, and even, like I said, communication, de-escalation, very, very important. Don't ever think that too much is too much. There is no such thing as too much training at all. Of course, body armor is very important. There are a number of websites that provide high quality body armor and a payment plan. And it's really important that you participate in wearing that type of protection. Communications. You can get two-way radios. There are a number of full-time 24/7 communication companies offering dispatch services. One of them that we use sometimes in our companies is a company called 911 iNet. I'm not sponsoring them. They are not an advertiser, and I'm not getting any money to tell you about them, but I think their service is pretty good. I'd give them about a B+. But they provide nationwide push-to-talk communications, a 24-hour dispatch service, even some records information, record checks that's available. If not them, there are others that you can check out on the web that's also available. You can also have a safety net. Many security officers have put together a safety net with their friends who are working either for other companies or on other properties, and you check in with each other on an hourly basis or when you're going to go to a call that might be violent or serious in nature. You text your friend, hey, Henry, John, I got a bad one. I might have a disturbance. I might have a weapon call. That way, if they don't hear back from you in 5 or 6, 7, 8 minutes, they're going to call 911 and get you some help over there. We also have some companies who have a dispatch call center that checks in with their security staff via their cell phone on an hourly basis. I always, before radios were really popular and I was working security, I would always call 911 on my cell phone, but not the send button. I would not push send. I would have it there all set to go in case I was facing a violent person or a dangerous situation. There are a number of security apps available. Go to the internet and log into your internet provider and search security apps for iPhones or Androids, and you're going to come up with numerous. Many campuses use these type of GPS-equipped security apps. You can just push one button. It'll go to a dispatch center, and they have you on GPS, and they'll call 911 for you. You can also buy these new devices. Well, they've been around for a number of years, kind of like I've fallen and I can't get up. These are safety devices that are also GPS equipped. They're relatively cheap these days with a monthly subscription, about $20. Well worth it, especially because your life does depend on it. Always call for backup before entering a bad call. If you're getting a call about a disturbance, a fight, weapons involved, or you hear shots fired and you don't call 911, the cavalry's not coming and something really bad could happen to you and you would not be able to call for backup. Always know your limits. I have had to learn this the hard way a number of times. I've been stabbed in the back. I've been beaten in the head with my own nightstick and received over 100 stitches and staples. I have gotten into more situations because I just didn't think it was that bad and didn't call for backup. Always call for backup as soon as you know that this might be kind of hairy. Know your limits. It's not anything negative or anything against you for calling for assistance or knowing when to back away. We talk about fight or flight. There's nothing wrong with deciding, hey, I better wait until I get some more help before I go in there because this sounds pretty bad, especially if you're an unarmed security officer. I don't know how I worked loss prevention for as many years as I did and how LP does it today. We're out there nabbing 1.4, 1.6 million shoplifters a year, almost always unarmed and almost always with very little backup or support. It's important as crime, violent crime especially, continues to rise and really such a lack of law enforcement. It's really important that we take all precautions possible, that we play it as safe as we can. That's going to do it for this edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio. And until the next time, be safe, be blessed, and we'll see you back here on the radio.